I can remember as a kid in school, I felt the call to ministry when I was 8 years old. And, you know, so however in-depth that may be as an eight-year-old, I distinctly felt the call of God to the ministry. From that time on, in the back of my head in life, I knew that my life would be serving God in full-time ministry. What I didn't know is what that would look like. I didn't know if it would be in music. I didn't know if it would be in traveling. I didn't know if it would be in being a missionary in a foreign country. I didn't know if it would be pastoring. You know, my little eight-year-old brain, I just went to my pastor and I said, I'll never forget the service. I could take you to the place in our church where I sensed the call of God distinctly. And that next week, I went to Brother Bierman and I said, I'm called of God into the ministry. What do I do? And so, thankfully, he didn't poo-poo it. He didn't say, well, you're just an eight-year-old. You don't know nothing. He said, okay, well, we need to start training you. And so that's when on Thursday nights I became his visiting partner. And I had to dress in a suit and a tie. And he'd pick me up about 6:30 on Thursday nights. And we would go visit people from the church. And I was in charge of kids and dogs. And he would say, you know, now I am going to be having some serious conversations. And if they're children and if they're dogs or pets, you need to take care of those so that I can have a serious conversation. So I did that for I don't know how long. When I was 12, I started teaching 6- and 8-year-old little boys in Sunday school class at 12. It's like, serious? And then I became the assistant youth pastor. And, you know, we weren't really much on titles in our church. And that just was my life. And if somebody would have asked me when I was in junior high, what are you supposed to do? My answer would have been, I'm called of God in the ministry. The problem was past that, I didn't know how to answer. I really didn't. You know, I did a lot of music then. And it's like, oh, so you're going to travel and sing. It's like, I don't know. I just knew that I was called of God to the ministry. But I can remember when I was in my last high school years, getting ready to go to college, I can just remember that angst on the inside. It's like, you know, Lord, if you could just be a little bit more specific, we could get along a little bit better. Wouldn't you just love the Lord sometimes to just really lay it out? Wouldn't you just love, I'd love to just get a memo from heaven, your next assignment. And just do it and go. But it's not like that. So it's been, you know, then raising children, you know, while we never had necessarily deep, in-depth conversations about it, I just know because I was a kid and my wife was a kid. You just know that. And I feel for high school seniors at this age of their life, you know, mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and, you know, everybody around them, you know. So what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go to school. What are you going to study? Well, I don't know. I'm going to go into business. Being what? I mean, we just want to keep honing down to find that exact thing, right? When the kid may be going, man, I just don't know. And they feel all this pressure. And hopefully today, I can take the pressure off scripturally. Will that work? Yeah. It'll work. It'll work if you're young or if you're very mature. If you have white hair, it'll work. If you're retired, it'll still work. If you're in the middle of your working days, it'll still work. And if you're young, this will take the pressure off. So are you ready to have the pressure taken off? All right, everybody take just a deep breath and say, okay, this is going to be good. Well, I hope it's going to be good. I don't know. I honestly think, and I get why we do it, because as humans, we simply want to just, I think all of us just have the deal that we would, if we could have this conversation with God face to face, I think all of us would have this conversation with God at least at some point. If you'll just tell me what you want me to do, I'll do it. Am I right? I think every one of us would have that conversation and it's like, you know what, God? Just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. I don't think there's a Christian anywhere that has made a true commitment to Christ, to where we love God and we want our lives to matter to something. I think we'd all just have that conversation. Listen, just be clear. Have you ever told that to a parent, by the way, when you were young? Just tell me what you want me to do. It's the ambiguous thing that's tough for people, right? And if there's anything that's ambiguous, it's this deal of what am I here for? What is my life all about? Why did God put me here? Why am I here? And so in just studying in my counsel, so I'll just tell you, if any of your children come to me and want to have this conversation and maybe want some pastoral advice, I'm going to take them to this portion of Scripture. And I'm going to just read it for them. And I'm just going to tell them, just loosen your wranglers. They're on way too tight. It can get up here in our head, right? And has that ever happened to you? This begins to mess with your head. It's like, man, I hope I'm doing the right thing. Man, I don't know if God would just tell me, but it seems like he's just keeping quiet on this whole deal. I just don't know, God. And we can just think about it. It's, oh, I hope I'm not doing the right thing or the wrong thing. So let's read Romans chapter 1. It's a wonderful chapter, by the way. We're going to just pick up sort of in the middle of the chapter down to verse 16. We're not going to end the whole chapter. I encourage you to end the whole chapter as well, maybe on your own. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And here's why. Because the word is for. Because it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Everybody say everyone. God's a whosoever will God. We know that, right? For the Jew first and then also for the Greek or the Gentile. For in it, in what? In the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me say it another way. In the word. Everybody say in the word. Now let me just tell you something. It's really important. In our scientific / modern day and age, when we hear in Christian circles the word, we think of the Bible. I want to encourage you, expand that, because it's not just the printed page. Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, is the Word. That's really, really, really important for us to understand. I don't think we can put too much importance on that. So if that's true, in it, in Christ, right? In the Word, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So that tells us something about God. That for God to be truly seen, to truly be made known, there's something that's involved. God just can't sort of, you know, appear out of the sky and, quote, reveal himself. First of all, how many of you know that revelation of God will take an eternity? Because God is inexhaustible. So in other words, an eternity, it's not like, you know, Tom here. If Tom were to reveal himself, you know, Tom could do it in probably, I don't know, maybe a week, or if he's a really a complex guy, maybe a month. Okay, maybe a year, I don't know, that we could find everything there is to know about Tom. God's not like that. God's inexhaustible, amen? And you're never going to come to the end of God. We're never, ever going to go, oh, I got God figured out. We can come to the spot that we go, what I do know about God, I love. But there's always going to be more that is that makes God up, if I could say it that way, right? So it says, in it, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Now, what does that mean? Just what is righteousness of God? What is that? That's a phrase. It's like, okay, it really sounds really spiritual. But what is that really? Righteousness is not just a place. Righteousness is just not a concept. The righteousness of God, that specifically gives the idea that we're going to see how God acts in life. Does that make sense? And what I mean by that is just how he is, how he interacts with creation would be a better way to say it. Okay. So the righteousness of God, How he acts with creation is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just. Who in here this morning are the just? Raise your hand if you're just. Okay? Some of you are a little bit hesitant. That's okay. Let me just say, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you would be referred to as the just. That means that we're justified, right? That there's been something done on our behalf that we've entered into that caused us to be justified before God. And it's simple. The first part of that is us putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We become justified, right? We don't become perfect. We just become justified, right? So it says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. Now stop and think about that. Guys, that's such an in-depth, powerful concept. It says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, right? And then it says, the just shall live by faith. Did you know how God, in addition to the written word, do you know how God is revealed in the world? Through me and you. Now you think about that. That's powerful. That's scary. That's exciting. That's inspirational. So let me just ask a question. I'll just throw a question out there. So what part of your life and my life has been a true picture of the righteousness of God that causes God to be revealed to people? Think about that. Now, that's exciting on good days, right? That's exciting on the days that you stopped and, if I could just, you know, use a cliche, that you stopped and helped the little old lady at the side of the road and changed her tire. Are you with me? But on those bad days that the wheels fell off of life, stop and think about this. Our lives as men and women of God reveal God to the world. That, guys, is what you and I were put on this earth to do. Now think about that. That sounds, it's like, okay, so then, let's just go on here and because he now talks about the unrighteous, okay? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God, now think about that, what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, now let me ask you a question. Are you part of the creation of the world? See, it's easy for us to separate this stuff out that, you know, the creation, when we think of creation, we think of this wonderful earth, we think of our universe, we think of the incredible animals. Dretton and I watched a public television show that was about animals, and we were watching the birds of paradise on this little island. And these birds of paradise have developed these sort of feathers and these deals that are on no other island anywhere on the face of the earth, and they're just wild. I mean, we just sat and watched this and just went, wow, unbelievable. That's what we typically think of creation, but I want to just encourage you. You insert, whenever you read in Scripture creation, you insert yourself there because you're part of His creation. I'm part of His creation. So whatever it says about creation, it possibly has an application for you and I. So it says here, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Truth about what? Truth about who God is. Truth about Him. It says that we suppress it in unrighteousness. Wow. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Who's them? People. Righteous or unrighteous men and women. What may be known of God? That's just crazy. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Let me ask you a question. Are you one of the things that are made? Yes, we are. Humans are one of the things that's made, in addition to all the other stuff. I mean, I get when we read that, most of the time, we just think of creation. We think of the earth, and we think of animals and whatever. But a lot of times, we fail to insert ourselves in it. So I get what it is that, you know, you go out on a night up in our Sawtooth Mountains and just lay down at night, you know, you're camping along a river or a lake or something like that, and you see one of our nights that's just clearer than a bell, and the stars just seem to light up, and you see this horizon of the Sawtooth behind, and you just sit there and go, there's no way this happened by accident. Are you with me? You can't come across some of the vistas across the world. I tell you, one of the prettiest sunsets I've ever seen in my whole life is in the country of Pakistan. I'd walk out at sunset nights in Pakistan and just stand there and just go, what an incredible God we serve. Some of the most beautiful mountains in Japan, the Alps in Europe, our mountains. Right, man, listen, come from the salmon side over into the Stanley River Basin. Still to this day, when I do it, I pull over. And it's everything I can do to not cry. I look at that view, and I've been privileged to be in many countries of the world. And that one view there, just cresting over that deal, is one of the most beautiful views I've ever seen anywhere in the world. It'll mark up against anything. And so I get that we go, wow, this didn't happen by accident. But listen, you're part of the creation. That's a crazy. So let me just ask another question just for us to ponder. When people have looked at us this week, what did they see of God versus what did they see that may suppress the truth about God? Turn to your neighbor and say, I think he's talking about somebody else, not us. Okay. Think about it. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, who? Humans, are left without excuse. So this is just totally a side note. So I get this question all the time. Well, how could a loving God send people to hell if they've never heard the gospel? Right there is the answer. Right there is the answer. His attributes are seen. His invisible attributes are seen in the things that were made, and that no one will be left without an excuse. Hearing the gospel makes it a whole lot easier. Are you with me? Hearing the gospel preached somehow through a person's life, through a formal service, through having a barbecue with friends, whatever it may be. Preaching the gospel is necessary. But let me tell you what. Preaching the gospel is not necessary for somebody to give their life to Jesus Christ. Just makes it a whole lot easier. Because here, man's left without an excuse. Because although they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Next week, we're going to go into Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to spend the entire time next week in Ephesians chapter 2 because it's another scripture that points to answering the question of why am I here? So to at least answer first, based upon this portion of scripture, the reason I'm here and the reason you're here is to be a part of revealing the truth about God. Amen. That's incredible. Yeah. I was talking to a phenomenal musician a couple weeks ago, and I said, you know what? You both inspire me and depress me at the same time. Any musician gets that. It's like, you inspire me. I listen to the ability that you have and your skill, and it just drops my jaw, and I just go, wow, wow, wow. And then if it's within an instrument I play or within the human voice, if it's phenomenal, there's also another side that is just like, I suck. Right? You know, if it's listening to a phenomenal piano player, you know, I listen to Chris play sometimes and I just go, man, that's gorgeous right there. It's not part of me. Right? And so when I think about, I'm set here on earth for this purpose, to be a part of revealing the truth about who God is. That inspires me because, listen, if that doesn't instantly take the pressure off, so just stop and think about this. Yes, I understand we all want to funnel our way down to my job at such and such. That's where I'm to be. Okay, I get that. But set that aside for a moment. If on the way to discovering that job, that vocation, that career, if on the way we could just simply live with this catalyst, you know what? My life is to reveal the truth about God.
That's good.
So whatever it is I'm doing, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is I'm doing, I just want to make sure that my life is revealing truth about God. Yeah, but are you doing the exact right thing? You know, I'm going to set that aside as secondary. The first thing I'm going to do is fulfill my purpose here. So that, you know, we could go further into that, that, you know, if I reveal truth about God, what does that do to the Creator? Creation should always make the Creator look phenomenal. Are you with me? And I'm not talking about just a show. But have you ever looked at that wood carving? Have you ever looked at whatever and you just look at it and you just go, holy smoke, that person who did that is just phenomenal. You know what I want about our lives? I want our lives to be that piece of creation that other people look at and go, whoever created that is phenomenal. Does that make sense? Man, whoever, wow, I don't know who you serve. I don't know whatever. Have you ever had this or heard testimonies of people before Christ? They've seen somebody in their life, maybe it was a family member or a friend or something like that, that they just watched them go through life and just at the end, somewhere along the line, something just happened. They went, listen, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know who you serve. I don't know what your deal is, but you know what? I've watched you for the last 5 years and I tell you, I want whatever it is that you got. That makes sense? So where it takes the pressures off for all the young people, and if you're here this morning and you feel like you're just not 100% sure if you're doing what you really, really should be doing, let me just tell you this. Set that aside for a moment and just relax your wranglers and just say, you know what? I'm going to fulfill my purpose and I'm going to make sure that my life reveals truth about God as opposed to suppressed truth about God. So in those situations where we can be loving, let's be loving. In those situations where we can be helpful, let's be helpful. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? To where then the emphasis isn't on just, oh man, I don't know if I should work. I don't know if I should take this job or I should take this job. It's like, you know what? In the midst of taking a job, let's make sure that we live our life in a way that reveals truth about God. Amen? Which then brings honor and glory to God. And you know what? When I've been able to have extended conversations with young people, the idea I think sometimes that wherever it come from, I don't know where it's come from, but I get it, is like, you know, when a human being is gifted into a family and there they are, we have this idea that God goes, okay, so there's Monique and Monique's going to do this. And there's only one this, by the way, right? And so the poor girl just lives, goes, I don't know if I'm on the right this, right? And you'd be surprised the amount of people that I've talked to over the years in ministry that are just so concerned about this deal. It's like, this, I don't know if I'm doing this. It's like, wait a minute, do you think there's only one thing that you could ever do? Is there only one thing that you could ever do? Well, I'm to teach. Well, how many of you know you could teach old people, young people, right? You could teach in a variety of environments. You could teach in school. You could teach on the mission field. You could teach. There's a ton of different things. So is there only one this? And then stop and think about this. Because then you, I hope I'm not too complex here, but then you take that into the teaching of 1 Corinthians that we all have a part to play in the body of Christ. Just let one person make a wrong move 100 years ago and it messes everybody up. Because they had somebody else's this. We're stuck. No. Take that away. It's kind of like, can I ramble for just a sec? No, not ramble. Can I go on a teaching rabbit trail for just a sec? I've said this for years. Well, there's only one person for you to marry. It's like, I don't agree with that. Sorry, I just don't agree with that. Maybe there's a people type, but I don't agree just one person. Stop and think about it. Because are you going to seriously tell me that since mankind set foot on this earth, created by God, are you going to tell me that every person chose the right one? And then about what about the ones that chose the right one, and then all of a sudden they decided it wasn't the right one, and they're on number four? All it takes is one. Way back when, all it takes is one, and everybody else is messed up forever. Right? Well, he has mine. No! I can't marry anybody else. They're the one! No, I don't believe that at all. Once you're married, that's the one person for you. Yeah. Are you with me? So turn to your neighbor if you're married and say, we're stuck. Okay? So listen. Once you're married, there's no other gal but Dorette, formerly Beer, for me. Right? There's a personal type that's maybe for me and a person type that's for her. And this thing of, man, I just don't know if I'm doing the right thing. Just concentrate. Take the emphasis off the little T thing and put the emphasis on the big T thing. And the big T thing is that my life is meant to be lived in such a way that I reveal rather than suppress truth about God. Does that make sense? Does that help? I hope it does. Now, some of you, you just messed me up again. It's like, okay, well, you know what? Just concentrate on the big T, and you'll get to the little T. So that then you can find joy. That's why, wow, this topic is a huge topic, because it's so interrelated. How can you be content in whatever state you're in if your concentration isn't on the big T? Have you ever had to do something out of necessity that maybe wasn't your thing? How can you even obey Paul's writing to the Corinthian church when he says, be content in whatever state you're in? How can you be content in that? Do you know how you can be content? It's because your attention is on the big T. My life is meant to be lived in such a way that I reveal truth about God, as opposed to suppress the truth about God. Then, in any state that I am in, I can be content. Amen. That I'm in the will of God. Amen. Does that make sense? I hope it does. So anyhow, we're just going to put a pause. So everybody hit the two little slashes on your mind. Just hit the pause. And then we will pick up in Ephesians chapter 2. I'd encourage you, if you wouldn't mind, read through Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to go through the whole chapter next week. I love this topic because you know what? There came a day in my life that honestly I just threw up my hands. And I just said, you know what? I'm giving up. I'm giving up trying to just be all wrapped up here. Am I doing exactly the right thing? And I had a conversation with God. And here was my conversation with God. It was really theological. It was really in depth. I said, here's the deal. I'm going to live in such a way that I bring honor and glory to you. And if you don't like what I'm doing, just tell me and I'll change. And you know what that did for me? It just put me in a different spot up here to where then I wasn't so worried. I wasn't so anxious about, I just don't know if I should have taken that job. I just don't know if I should have done, oh. And then have you ever done it? And then when you get doing the new thing that you decided on and you started out and the honeymoon is wonderful and it's great until the first thing happens that just kind of makes it look awful. And then you go, I shouldn't have made that decision. And we just go from, listen, let's just set all that aside. Just live in such a way, doing what you're doing. And God knows. He and I have an open conversation and he knows, Father, I'm committed you to this degree. Whatever you tell me to do, I really will do, God. Just you lead me and I will follow. But in the meantime, because you know, God doesn't always talk. Am I right? Oh, I know some of you real spiritual people just went, well, if you were spiritual, he would. It's like, cool, you be spiritual then and you tell him, you know, you tell me what he tells you to do and tells me to do. If you're really spiritual, you can find it out for everybody. So just go ahead and become a savior. Right? God, just tell me. And you know what? I just look at it this way. He will. In the meantime, I'm going to concentrate on the big T. I'm going to live my life in a way that I reveal truth and not suppress truth about God. Okay? Cool. Let's all stand up.